Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformation. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Welcome, my friends, to another episode of Life Transformation Radio. I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, TEDx speaker, business strategist, and author, Sean Douglas. This show is currently heard in over 63 countries, such as the United States, Sweden, the UK, and Canada, Panama, Belgium, Amsterdam, Germany. So I want to thank you to those who are listening from around the world. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformation. Here is where we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing. We highlight that transformational moment that has changed our lives, and then how we use this to help transform others and elevate their lives as well. You can listen to us live right here on Blog Talk Radio at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can also join our Facebook community, Life Transformation Radio Community. I ask that you subscribe, rate, and review the show wherever you're comfortable listening to podcasts, but we are found on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, Player FM, Radio Public, Overcast, CastBox, and the Google Play Music app. So never miss an episode by subscribing or joining the Life Transformation Radio Community. On the show, my guests are entrepreneurs, speakers, business owners, coaches, other podcasters, and authors who are doing amazing things in their world to impact the lives around them. And my guest today does exactly that. If you have any questions for my guests that I bring on the show while we are live at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Tuesday through Friday, you can call in at 657-383-1109. Again, the number, 657-383-1109. So please help me welcome to the show my buddy, Jake Ballantyne. What's up, my friend?
Hey, what's going on? That was an awesome introduction, and I am privileged and honored to be a part of your show today.
Dude, I have enjoyed getting to know you and sharing the love of public speaking over this past year, man. I've learned a lot from you. We have done some lives, some trainings inside of your group and, you know, on your podcast. So it's just been an honor to know you as well, man. So I really appreciate that.
Thanks, man. I that means a lot.
You're a rock star. How can anybody not love you? You're a rock star.
Thank you, man. You know, it's interesting you say that. Thank you. I appreciate that. But I was thinking about this today because, truth be told, this is the fourth podcast interview I have done today. The fourth
wow.
podcast interview I've done today. And I was kind of thinking, like, how did all this happen? Like what happened from like 18 months
right.
ago when like I just thought, how can I get on more of these podcasts? How can I get more attention? How can I get you know, more people to pay attention to me? How can I build a bigger platform? How can I do that? And it's really interesting that when, yeah, right around 18 months ago, maybe 2 years ago, I made a decision to just start serving and just start giving and like forget about all that other stuff. Like just start giving and just start serving. And now I'm at the point to where, you know, I'm on somebody's podcast several times a week. And I mean, today it just happens
yep.
that this happens to be the day that they were all scheduled on. I'm not doing that every day or anything, but all I'm saying is that it's all come just because I started giving and serving, and I've seen a lot of good things come from that. So anyway, that was just my first thought as you said that. Thank you for saying that.
Love it.
But it is interesting that it's really just come from giving.
Yeah. No, absolutely, man. I've been a guest on 52 podcasts this year, and I still have some that are scheduled in my calendar. So my goal is 50 every year, and I might even hit 60. I don't know. But I have three or four that are still scheduled that we haven't even done yet. So
wow, that's
good
awesome.
Chance I might hit
good
60. But I want, like, my goal every year is to hit 50. That's what I want to do. I want to hit 50 every year.
It's amazing. Oh. We live in such an incredible time where you can do that, where you can be speaking and connecting with people all over the world through the comfort of your own home. You don't have to be anywhere. I mean, it's just incredible. And I love getting to talk and work with people like you, because you're the kind of person who's just doing it. And there's so many people who say, I want to do this and I want to do that. And my thoughts sometimes, I don't want to be like the grizzled veteran, but a lot of times I just think like, okay, so do it. Like, what are you waiting for? Like,
right.
Just do it. It's not that hard if you just go out and make it happen.
What I find amazing is that, you know, when we were kids, we wouldn't be caught dead listening to talk radio, like talk radio. Oh, it's so stupid. You know, like,
yeah.
Where's the music? Turn the music. And now what do? We listen to podcasts like every day.
Yeah. It's funny. That being said, I'm not a huge talk radio fan, but that's just because of the formats that are done on usually
sure.
Where there's a lot of, hey, well, we got to keep the listeners through the next commercial. And there's all that
yep.
stuff going on. And
sure.
The podcasts I enjoy the most are ones like this that are real conversations, not. And I have no problem with conversations that are, you know, podcasts that are much more edited and produced. But the ones that I like are the ones that are just conversations.
Yep. That's what we do here, man. So what I've named the show is after your book, Your Number One Goal, with Jake Ballantyne. Jake is the author of Your Number One Goal, a contributing author in Jack Canfield's Living the Success Principles, which is an amazing book, and the founder of the Speakers, Authors, and Coaches Network. He is a national award-winning motivational speaker who has presented at over 350 events nationwide. He resides in Sacramento, California, with his wife, Caitlin, and his son, Jacob. If you want to join the amazing Facebook group, because what we all need in our life are more Facebook groups, is
absolutely.
The Speakers, Authors, and Coaches Network, right? So go there. There's the link. Hit that. And then go to speakerauthorcoach.net. You can also check out the podcast, the ever-popular podcast, crushing it in iTunes rankings, is the Speakers, Authors, and Coaches podcast. And then if you want a free copy of The Number One Goal, you go to jakeballantyne.com. The link is right there. Go ahead and click the link to learn more about Jake. So, man, the first question that I have to ask is, what is your why? What is that? What is the reason why you do what you do?
You know, it's interesting you ask that, because there's different whys in different periods of your life, and things change and things move around. And I'll just talk specifically about the why of my business transformation over the last 2-3 years. And that has been, once we got serious about having a child, where truth be told, once we figured out we were going to be able to, for a long time, that wasn't in the cards for us. And then once we found out that we were going to be able to have a child, yeah, we went 7 years of being told that we would never be able to have children. And then that was really hard. That was very challenging. I talk a lot about it in the book. And then mm-hmm. There are some things that changed, and that was great. And then it was clear that we were going to be able to have a child. And once that became something that was real, my business needed to shift, because for so long, my attitude was, well, we want to have children, but we're not able to. So I'm not going to build my life around doing things that are ideal for children. I just wanted to do whatever I wanted to do. And at the time, that was speaking all over the country. And I loved doing that. It was a lot of fun. And the travel didn't bother me. And I enjoyed the travel. But also, I was able to take my wife with me. She didn't come everywhere I went, but she came a lot. Whenever it was somewhere that sounded fun to go, she would come with me. But then after my wife got pregnant with our son, I said, okay, like, I got to shift things, because this is really my biggest dream. My biggest dream is actually being a great dad. That's really what I want. And so I just said, okay, well, I'm going to need to shift things around so that I am the kind of father that I want to be, and build a business that is built around the life that I want instead of building a life around the business that I want. And so my why of what I've done over the last 2 years in building a business that operates without me having to get on an airplane every week, that why has been, I want to be the dad who is the T-ball coach, who is the scout leader, who's all those kinds of things. And so it was building a business around that, around being able to not only be able to spread my message and do that professionally, but being able to actually be the kind of father that I want and wanted to be.
I love it, man. Absolutely love it. So my wife and kids travel with me to places that they want to go. So, you know, I've got a 15, 11, a 4, and a 1-year-old. And I was speaking at an event last year, 4 days before the due date. Like, the wife's like, you better make it home. But it was like already scheduled like months in advance, like 6, 8, 9 months in advance. I already knew what was happening. You know what I mean? So I was like,
you're a brave man. You're a brave man.
Dude, you know what, though? If it was our first kid, there's no way they would have left. Or our second kid. Like, because we had our third kid. Let's see. Oh, my gosh. So this is crazy. So, yeah, so I was deployed. I was deployed to the desert almost all of the pregnancy with our third child, who's 4, and I got home like seven or eight days. I was home 7 or 8 days, and boom, baby born. So made it there, and then the speaking engagement, I came back, and then 3 days later, she was born. So yeah, it kind of closed the last two times. But the first two was like, I mean, I wasn't even there. Like the first one, I wasn't even there. But the second one was like, I mean, it was everything that you thought it was going to be. You know what I mean? So with the third one, I was like, oh, I'll make it. Like, we've already got kids. Like, I've seen it before. Like, it's fine. We'll make it. Like, we didn't even stress out. The fourth one was like, yeah, if you make it back or not, you know. I mean, make it back. But I mean, you know. You know, because you had kids, you're like, I got it, you know.
Yeah,
the
totally.
Like,
no, I get that.
You better make it back. Like, you know, but for your first one, it's like, you better be here. You know, because at this point, it's like, look, with the fourth kid, like, we kind of know what we're doing. You know?
Well, with this, I mean, it was something that, like I said, I mean, we just, you know, we've been married nine years, and we have one 18-month-old, I guess now 19-month-old child. And so, I mean, this was really, there was no possible way that I was going to miss this. No way. Not going to happen.
Yeah. That's very cool, man. Very cool. But they follow me everywhere. You know, like, we were in Austin earlier this year speaking at an event called the New Media Summit, which features podcasters on stage speaking about their show and just the podcast industry. And there's a difference between the podcast business and the business of podcasting. So we talk about the difference between the two, and then we book a bunch of people on our shows. It's an amazing event. That was in Austin, Texas. And we were there for a week, which was super great. And then we went to Chicago, and we went to Michigan, and we just got back from Myrtle Beach. So, like, I mean, she loves it. Like, we'll go there a day of, or like the day before, and like the day after. One of the two is a day that we just spent all day together. So, like, I'll speak one day, and we'll just hang out, eat dinner, whatever. And then the next day, it's like, let's go cruise the neighborhood. Let's go hang out. Let's go, you know, whatever. So we went to Myrtle Beach and did a whole bunch of stuff and spent a bunch of money, and kids loved it.
So that's cool.
I try to find events that are on the weekend, so we just make a weekend of it.
That's cool.
Also, family vacation. Hey, I'll see you in a little while. You know, so I did my morning keynote, opening the conference. I did two breakouts, and I was done by lunch. Not bad for a few thousand dollars, you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. So, absolutely. I mean, it's a great, you know, it's a great world that we live in, for sure.
So that's the plan, you know? And you know, there's times where I'm like, hey, I'm going to California. She's like, yeah, I don't care about that. But then, like, she's like, you need to get booked in Michigan or in Utah, because I really want to go to Utah. I'm like, okay, well, let me look for events in Utah. You know? So
that's cool.
I was like, well, where else do you want to go? So next year we're going to, like, Florida and all these different places. So I totally get where, like, the family can come, but then sometimes they can't, and it's like with school. And but you know, the kids, they love going to different places, so that's just kind of what we do.
That's awesome. That's very cool.
Yeah, man. So talk about a transformational moment in your life that has put you on the path to be this amazing speaker who has presented at over 350 events. How did you get started? Like, what was that transformational moment that said, this is the path, this is the journey, this is my life?
Now, let me ask you this. So I started with one thought, and then you kept going with the question, and then it changed to a different thought. So do you want a transformational moment in my life that, you know, put me on this trajectory, or do you want the moment when I decided, okay, this is what I want to do, I want to be a speaker?
Either one works, man.
Okay, sounds good. Well, I'll start with the transformational moment that just set me on this trajectory. And it was a moment where I grew up a kid who was considered learning disabled. I barely graduated from high school. I didn't read a book cover to cover till I was 18 years old. I went to college the first time, and I was kicked out of school because my grades were so poor. I left, and I did a mission trip with my church, and I was working for someone there. And the person in charge of us started talking to me about how come I wasn't planning on going to college. And I told him it was because I wasn't smart enough, I wasn't capable, and that I had tried and I failed. And that he just looked at me and said, you know, how can you say that you're not smart enough? How can you say that you're not good enough? How can you say that you can't do it? And I told him that, you know, I tried and I failed and I don't want to do it again. And he said, look, I believe that you went to school. I believe that you didn't do well, but I don't believe that you tried. And I think what's going on is it's not that you're dumb. It's not that you're incapable. It's that you had a challenge. Everyone has challenges, but you experience a challenge and then you gave up. You quit because it was hard. And now you have a choice whether or not you want to set a pattern for the rest of your life of being someone who, when things get challenging, you quit and you give up. Or are you going to set a pattern of being the type of person that when things get challenging, you figure out a way to get through it, to go over it, to go around, however that works. You get a choice of what you're going to do. And he challenged me to go back to school and to see tutors, to get extra help, to do whatever I could to get better and better and better at school. And I went back the second time through and I did all those things. I got the tutors. I got the help. I did all that stuff. And I was able to do something that I never thought that I could do. And, you know, this was about 21 is when I went back to school, and I did something I never thought that I could do and graduated from college. And I did really well in college. And that set me up in a way to where I believed that I could do things that were challenging. I believed that I could do things that were hard. And that's just what gave me the attitude to where no matter what it was, if there was something I wanted to do, I knew that I could make it happen because I had a track record of success of doing something to me that I literally thought was impossible. To other people, you know what? Like, I don't know if you've seen the movie. Yeah, I think you have. I think we've talked about it before, but the movie Billy Madison, when he graduates from high school, he gives a speech and he talks about how maybe it's easy. Maybe it was easy for you, but for me, it was tough. And I kind of felt that way about college. You know, maybe for other people it was easy, but for me, this was a huge event. And I talk a lot about that and my thoughts on college. I don't know if college is really the right path for every person. In fact, I don't think it is. But the thing that I got out of college wasn't necessarily the things that I learned in the classroom. It was that I learned that I could do things that I thought were impossible. I could do hard things. And that just set me up to where from that point forward, whatever it was that I wanted to do, I said, okay, I can do it.
Very cool, man. I love it. I think it speaks to your perseverance and resilience a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly does. I mean, it was something that was a challenge. It took me learning things in a whole different way. There are even some classes that when I went back, I failed the first time through. You know, it's not like all of a sudden I just said, okay, cool, I'm going to be good at this. And then just it became easy. I'd go back and, you know, there were times where there's one class I took three times before I passed it. So anyway, that was something that really set me off and was a big transformational moment for me.
Huge, man. I love it. So how are you now taking these things that you've learned along the way and are elevating lives around you?
Well, just that, what I just told you, I mean, that basically is the central part of the story that I've told to hundreds and hundreds of teenage audiences around the country, you know, telling that story about overcoming challenges and overcoming whatever your challenges are. That's been a huge part of it. But then today, yes, I still do that. I still go out speaking, but my main focus is my coaching, whether it's with the Speakers, Authors, and Coaches Network or the Number One Goal brand. But it's all focused around helping people to do things that they might think are impossible, helping them do things that they think are challenging, and helping them to be able to turn something that is just a dream into their reality. And those same kind of lessons, the same kind of attitude that I had to get through that is what I help people develop.
Got it. Yeah, that makes sense, man, because I'm in the group and I see that all the time, man. You're always helping. You're always – and you even take it off yourself sometimes. And you're like, hey, guy, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? You'll tag somebody like, hey, what are you thinking? You know, and then be like, oh, yeah, that's true. And then, you're always, empowering people. Even when, I'll comment on something, and you're like, yep, totally, yep, get that. And this. Like, you're always just elevating everybody, man. So I just want to say I appreciate you. And your new group is awesome, man. You know, out of any speaker group I'm in, and I'm not just saying this, but, you know, out of any speaker group I'm in, it has literally, the most engagement, you know, out of, the members. It's not just one person posting all the time. There's other members that post stuff too. So,
well, thank you for saying that. And I'm glad to hear you say that too, because that's the intention with it, is I don't need to be the guy who's right all the time. I just want to empower and elevate this whole group and help people to get the knowledge, to get the, to get whatever motivation, whatever information they need. And
right.
My message is that, look, if I can do this, then you guys can do it too. And through that group, there's so many minds that come together that can all help each other and be a resource. But it's not just about me. I never wanted it to be about me. I wanted it to be a community.
Right. Yeah, man. And it definitely is. 100% definitely is. So as you moved forward and you started speaking and creating all these things, what was it like, man? I'm sure it was pretty scary or nerve-wracking getting up on the stage for the first time, right?
Well, I mean, it wasn't, and the reason why I say that is because I've been a musician, a singer, a guitar player, you know, since high school. So I was used to being in front of audiences. I was used to being on stage. It was different to speak as opposed to be just playing music. But I mean, I when I say performed, I mean, I had a period of time where before I started speaking, I was making a living as a musician, as a performer. So I was performing all over the place and performing very regularly. So that was definitely a benefit that I had. But what was nerve-wracking was putting that guitar down and then actually speaking and talking about something that is personal and that is real. That was nerve-wracking. That certainly took some time to get over it. Whenever people talk about the actual content they share on stage or speaking skills, maybe I'm not as helpful as maybe they would like me to be. But my advice is always just, you just need more stage time. That's always it. Just get more stage time, get more stage time. But I think the part that was more nerve-wracking was the business side of it. It was, can I make a living doing this? I always felt like I was good on stage. I always felt like I was a good communicator. That's just kind of a natural gift. But can I make a living doing this? That's where the nerve-wracking part came in. But I went and found people who were doing it. I invested in myself. I invested in different coaching programs so that I could learn what to do. And so I could follow the path of those who have gone before me. And getting that kind of information is really what gave me the courage to keep moving forward and to keep moving forward so that I was able to make it a reality. And it really took me, I mean, it took me less than a year. You know, within that first year, I was actually making a living sharing my message. And that was my full-time income. It was within a year. That was all I was doing. And, you know, from there, it's grown. It's transformed. You know, things look a lot different than they did 7 years ago when I first, you know, jumped into this full time. But I really haven't looked back ever since really the first couple times that I was getting paid to open my mouth.
Very cool, man. I didn't know you were doing it for that short of time. I figured you were doing it for a little bit longer than that.
No, I mean, let's look at the timeline. Yeah, 2011 is when I got into this. 2011 is when I got in, you know, full time. And yeah, so that's it, and it's been good.
I love it, man. So going forward, what do you see yourself doing in the next like 5 years? Like, what is your 5-year plan for your speaker business, for your family, for, you know, what it is that you want to create? You know, what do you think your plan is?
So my plan with what I'm building is something that's a lot bigger than me. Yeah, I'm working on building something that's a lot bigger than a guy going out and speaking places, but it's a platform that is going to inspire thousands and thousands of people all over the world. You know, what I'm doing now is just the beginning of it, with the group, with the podcast, with the event that's coming up. You know, this is going to be a live seminar business where we're doing live seminars on a regular basis, both with the Speakers, Authors, and Coaches Network and with the Number One Goal brand, and to where we are launching this, you know, first all over the United States of America. We're going to be going out into, already have some plans in place to start doing some things in the UK, some things in Australia. And it's
going
to be something that, yeah, and it's going to be something that grows and grows. But the where I'm going with this is the seminar type business model, not necessarily more and more on the
right
for hire speaking, but the bringing people together and having transformational experiences. For me, my most transformational experiences have not been seeing a speaker get up on stage for 45 minutes, but it's being in an immersive environment where I'm going through an experience over the course of a couple days. And that's what I want to provide, just at a bigger and professional level.
No, I love that. No, I absolutely cannot agree more, man. I do 2-day resilience boot camps every every quarter. I try to do one every quarter. And it's a 2-day intense, man. We're there 8 o'clock in the morning, ready to rock and roll, done by 3-ish in the afternoon, you know. And there's a lot of share and pair, right? So you learn a little bit, and then I'm like, okay, pair up, write this, do this, play this game, do that, you know. But it's teaching them the resilience skills. And, you know, halfway through first day, is I love, like, so open it up for feedback. Like, what do you guys think so far? And you know, every time there's always one person, always at least one, that's like, I need this. Like, what I'm dealing with in my life right now, I need this. Like, that's amazing. And then sometimes they dive into the story, and you're just like, you never know what people are carrying around. You never know what someone is carrying around with them. You never know what someone is feeling or thinking, or you never know what someone has been through. And you could be the light at the tunnel. You could be something that they need, and you could be providing that one thing that they didn't know they were looking for. And now they found it.
Yep, that's exactly right.
And by the way, my dream is to speak in Australia. Just want to let you know that.
Okay, sounds good. Let's make it happen.
So I've applied a couple times, but I don't know if the American dude is going to make it over there. But, you know, I said – so when I started my speaking career in – so I've been doing this since 2009, but, like, professionally I was like, I got to do that. Like, I have to do this. Like, there's no way I cannot do this. Like, I have to do this. So, you know, I spent all of 2015 planning, whatever, and I said in 2015, I was like, look, TEDx Talk is number one. I want to speak on stage in Las Vegas because, as you know, a military guy, that's what we like. We go to Vegas a lot because of Nellis Air Force Base and how large it is and the training units that we have there. We're always there training in the middle of a desert. So I have to do these two things. And then I was like, where do I want to go? I was stationed overseas. So let's do Australia. Like, never been there. Have no reason to go there. So let's do that. I think that'd be a really great place to go. So, you know, done the TEDx talk, which is amazing. Done the speaking in Vegas, which was absolutely incredible. So, just trying to do the Australian thing. And then I have no idea what I'll do after that. Maybe I'll try to, you know, I saw you at an event, Jack Canfield or something had an event. Maybe speaking on big stages like that, you know, the ones that are kind of pay to play. I think I might try to do, you know, a couple of those or something like that. But where have you spoken at, man?
In terms of areas, like places?
Yeah, like where, you know, what are some of the, like, have you spoken international or, you know, is it strictly
US?
I've
been strictly United States, but I've done 43 states. 43 states have been hired to speak in. So I need to get 7 more and then I'll have the whole country. But so I've been hired just about everywhere. And I've been all over the United States. I've seen it all. I've done it, you know, I've seen the whole country several times over. There's very few airports in the United States that I can't tell you which direction you're going to walk to get what food.
Right.
you know, you're traveling too much when, like, you know the names of the people that work at the Jamba Juice in the Denver airport when you don't live in Denver.
Or they recognize you?
Yeah. Or when the flight attendant knows who I am. Oh, you're back.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Anyway,
that was super weird that first time ever to me.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, I've been all over the United States, and like I said, my goal now is more about building those. You know, you mentioned a Jack Canfield event. That was at his 5-day seminar that he did, and that's really the place I want to go, is to build the kind of platform to where I'm able to bring together people for an immersive experience that is going to literally change people's lives, because those kind of experiences are what has that real transformation. You know, when you go and you put your life aside for 3 to 5 days and you focus on how are you going to be better, and you put yourself through this experience, you put yourself in the room with 300 other people who are there because they want the same thing, you know, that's when those real transformations take place. And that, yes, where I'm going in the next 5 years, that's the goal of what I'm building.
Yeah, I love that. Perfect. My 10-year vision is to become the synonymous with John Maxwell, Zig Ziglar, you know, and be that entrepreneur, speaker, and business owner academy. But I really feel like getting accredited to accept the GI Bill, like the 9/11 GI Bill, so I have something for the veterans to, like, spend money on. You know, I think that's what I'm going to do and go that direction, really frame it.
I saw you post about that. I thought that was super cool. Like, that, when I saw you post that, I was like, dude, that right there, that's something that not only is going to be hugely successful, but it's going to change a lot of lives. And I love that attitude, that idea of, like, okay, I want to create something that can be accredited for the GI Bill, you know, can do those things. And then, you know, just from a business perspective,
right,
too, I mean, if you can create something where other people can, if they can get somebody else to pay for it, it makes it that much easier.
Oh, definitely. Because, like, you know, when veterans come out, they, like, what am I going to do? Like, what do I do? You know what I mean? So I just,
and college isn't,
you know, we always talk.
Sorry, go.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that, I mean, college isn't always the right place for people to go. And I even question the validity of college for most things in today's day and age. And especially when someone's coming out and when they're older, you know, they've gone through all that stuff, you know, going, you know, all over the world and protecting our country. And then you come back and, you know, all of a sudden, I mean, college is just, it feels a lot like high school, and sometimes I could see that feeling like, I don't really know what I'm doing with my life, and they'd much rather do something, especially if they're going to be entrepreneurs, then let's just find a way where you guys can just move forward with the business and with the career, and maybe you don't have to go to 4 years of experience, you know, 4 years of college. Maybe you've already got the life experience that you need to get out there, you know, in the military, and now it's time to go and use that in another way. So I think what you're doing is fantastic.
Oh, thanks, man. I built 3 businesses while in the military, and I just know what these guys are going through, you know, and I know it's a huge demographic that needs to be plugged in. You know, and I know a lot of military guys that come out speaking too. Like, oh, I want to be a speaker. I want to be like, because we become trainers. Like, as you get older in your career, you just become a trainer. And then they're like, oh, I love helping people and, you know, whatever. Yep.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
That's a lot of it for, real quick, that's a lot of it for me too. I don't talk about this publicly very often just because, you know, religion can be a polarizing thing. But, well, with me, you know, I was a missionary. And in doing that through different leadership positions in that world, I was doing training for other missionaries. And I, you know, so I'm doing trainings for 200 of my peers as a 20-year-old. And when I was doing that, I went, huh, is there a way I can do this for a career? Because I really like this. And like that, right. That was a huge part of it for me, was realizing that, like, oh, I have a natural aptitude for this. This is something that isn't something like, sure, I got better since then, but it was a natural gift. I don't know if you thought about this much, but I don't do a lot of training on actually speaking. And the reason why is because I don't have a lot to give there, because I'm good at speaking because I'm a good communicator, and I'm a good communicator because I was just born with it. I don't know what to tell people to be better at speaking. I can give them tips, I can give them ideas, but I don't have a transformational story of I was bad at speaking and then I became good at speaking. It's just always been something that's come natural. You look in sports, you don't see a lot of the naturally gifted, amazing players becoming incredible coaches. Most of the coaches are guys who kind of, you know, they played above their potential and they learned how to be great. They learned how to do that through hard work, effort, and knowledge. Anyway, so that for me, that was where the beginning of it started, was when I was a missionary and I went, oh, I like doing this. I like training people. I like speaking in front of people and I'm really good at it naturally. And at the time I had no idea that that could be a career. I didn't know that that was an option. I didn't know that that was a thing. But I remember thinking at that time, man, if I could do this, that'd be fantastic.
Right. Yeah. And it, you know what, though? It wasn't until I was a drill instructor for Air Force basic training that I even knew that I'd be a great speaker. You know, I didn't want to speak to nobody, especially like on stage anywhere. I was like, hell no. Like, I ain't got time for that. So I became a drill instructor, and then I was like, this is amazing. Like, I love this. Not the yelling and that, you know, that was whatever. But, like, I'm like, all right, guys, here's what we're going to do. I need to do this, and you need to fold your clothes this way, or need to march this way, or need to do this, or I'm teaching, like, a class. I'm teaching, you know, whatever. Because we teach, like, academic classes, you know, about the military. Like, we're going to learn about the colors. We're going to learn about our logo. We're going to learn about, you know, whatever, you know, or I'm teaching a self-aid and buddy care class, or I'm teaching somebody how to break down the M16 and what all the parts and pieces mean. And this is what you do here because this is, and, but I was like, this is incredible. And I get paid a lot of money to do this. This is amazing. So then I started researching public speaking and then just started kind of learning it from there as I kind of went, you know. But if you don't take those chances, then I guess you never know. And if you don't find something that just opens you up like that, then I guess you'll never know.
Yeah, absolutely. You gotta, you know, it's interesting how life works. And I think that if you don't try things, then you're never going to know. Like, you gotta try things. You gotta test things. When people say they don't know what they want to do, I think the best thing is just, okay, cool. We'll just start trying things, start trying on something and see how it fits.
Right. Yep. 100%, man. So for those listening, if you have any questions for myself or for Jake, or if anything resonated with you, call in 657-383-1109. Again, the number is 657-383-1109. If you caught the link on a Facebook post or LinkedIn or some kind of other social, like, share, and comment so that people can know what we're doing. So I got a question that I ask everybody. I'm so fascinated by these answers. Who is your influencers? Who do you follow?
Who am I being influenced by right now? I'm going to give you a funny answer that you'll understand that
I love it. I love
some other people won't. Right now, the people who are influencing me the most are Cody Rhodes and Nick and Matt Jackson, the Young Bucks.
Oh my god,
These three people, how awesome was their event? These three people who are professional wrestlers, for those not inundated with this, and I'll tell you why. Let's go specifically with Cody Rhodes, and the reason why I've been so inspired and influenced by him is he's this guy. I know you know this, but the people listening, he's this guy who is the son of one of the most famous wrestlers of all time, and he is a guy who had a very cush position in the biggest wrestling company in the world, that he could have stayed in forever, but he knew that he could be more. He knew he could make plenty of money there for as long as he wanted to, but he wasn't positioned at the top because he knew, hey, I can be a champion. I can be at the top of this game. I can be more. I can be who my dad, not just who my dad was, but someone even different. I can be me, and I can do it at the best level. And so he opted out of his contract that was a very sizable contract and went off to do this on his own. Now, in our day and age, things are changing a little bit, but there's not a lot of other options outside of the big company. And so he goes, I'm going to do this on my own. He's leaving all this money on the table, and he's built something incredible for himself. He bet on himself. He's actually made more money this year than he did while he was in the WWE. And then he just put on this event where he headlined it, sold 10,000 tickets in 29 minutes, which is incredible. And the point is that here's somebody who bet on himself to be something better. And I just freaking love that. I've been obsessed following this person. Yeah, I've been a fan of pro wrestling since I was a kid. But like the thing that I'm more interested in now is like who these people are and what their lives are about. And this guy is somebody who has truly bet on himself because he knew he could be more. And I think it's so inspiring for everyone who's listening, who maybe they have a job that's paying the bills and it's secure and they can stay with it for as long as they want, but you know that you're destined to something more. I'd encourage you to bet on yourself. Bet on yourself and say, look, I'm going to do this. And if it means I'm going to risk something, oh well. We only get one life to live, and we just get to choose what we're going to do with it.
Yep, absolutely. And I think the best part about it all is everything was stacked against them. Everything. I mean, ECW didn't even sell as much as those guys. And WWE execs and McMahon, they tried to shut them down, like make sure they couldn't do it. And they did. They did the event. Nothing stopped them.
And that's the thing is like this, there's been other people who have tried to do things like this. And I just mean the leaving and building something on their own. Like that's been something that's been tried and most people don't succeed. In fact, everyone doesn't. And so he bet on himself in a way that, is different and unique. And, it's really paid off. So, yeah, that probably wasn't the answer you were expecting, but right now that's the truth for me right now, someone who's absolutely inspiring me right now.
Dude, I love it. And the reports afterwards were so funny yet inspiring because it was, this is what happened. Oh, by the way, G1 is not going to take over Madison Square Garden in the WrestleMania weekend. Like, you know, and so everybody's like, well, if they did it, it's kind of like, you know,
it's a 4-minute mile
thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a 4-minute mile.
It's like Roger.
Yep. Roger Bannister.
Yep.
Yeah. If somebody's done something, for those who don't know what we're talking about, cause we're talking insider baseball now. But like, you know, people are like, G1, what are you guys talking about? But the idea that somebody could sell that many tickets, a 10,000-seat arena or more than that, in a world that's not the WWE, you know, with independent professional wrestlers, you know, the idea that you could do that, it's never been done, and it hasn't been done outside. In America, it hasn't been done by anyone outside of the WWE since WCW folded, which was another company. That was almost 20 years ago now. And they were a big company with Ted Turner behind it. And so it's, I think the last time an independent had done it was in the 80s. And so now all of a sudden that that Cody Rhodes did this, now they're saying other companies are like, oh, well, okay, we could do it too. And they're doing it. And so let's go back to business and life. And, you know, the 4-minute mile, such a great example of that. Nobody could run a 4-minute mile until Roger Bannister did it. And then all of a sudden people could do it. Could they do it before? Yeah, but they didn't believe it was possible. And so you look at like what you want to achieve in your business and in your life, and maybe there's somebody who's done it before. So now take that and say, great, if they can do it, that means I can do it. But then if it's something that nobody's ever done, you can also say, hey, if nobody's ever done it, that doesn't mean that I can't do it. Maybe this is another 4-minute mile. Maybe once I do it, everyone else will be able to do it.
Mm-hmm. 100%, man. No, but I love the answer because like I know the industry and, I'm super inspired by those guys. It was just like, it was great to see, you know, somebody else doing something and kind of shushing the machine a little bit. You know what I mean? Like kind of hushing the noise from the machine.
Well, what I like about them though is, you know, when you're sure maybe, and sometimes they're marketing things like that, they might kind of toy with that. But when you hear them on podcasts and they're talking reality, like they have nothing but respect. There's no middle finger in the face. Like they're just doing them. And that's the thing. I look at that and I go, okay, cool. Now what can I build? You know, how can I do this? And I was talking before, like my vision of what I'm talking about, like, look, I'm not talking about tomorrow, but I'm talking about me doing my seminars in large venues.
Yeah.
I'm talking about big world-class level stuff that I'm going to be building. And just when you see other people do things that are supposed to fail, things that are destined to fail,
yeah,
things that are not possible, I go, that's amazing. And a quick note on
mm-hmm.
that, I think that people, it's very easy for people to see other successful people and to tear them down and to say, well, they did this because of that or because of this or because of this connection or because of that or whatever. And I have made a choice recently, it was a couple of years ago, which is interesting because it was around the time when my business really started to take off, was when mm-hmm. I made a decision to no longer put down people who are more successful than me. Every time someone's more successful than me and I hear something that they do, rather than saying, well, they did this or they're wrong because of this or this is bad or complain about it or whatever, I just go,
right,
okay, cool, what
yeah.
can I
yep.
learn from that? Now, they might be doing things I don't agree with. They might be doing things I don't like. They might whatever. But what can I learn from them? Because obviously they're doing something right. And I look for what can I take from it? What can I learn from it? And so I love seeing people be successful in anything because that goes, okay, cool. Well, they're just people like me and I can be successful too.
You know, I think it's amazing that when you're on the other side of it, you're like, oh, they're so successful. Like, how did that happen? Like, I kind of want that for myself, right? Like, oh, what a great stage to speak on. Like, that's amazing. Oh, wow. You have X amount of clients. You get, like, all the success, right? You're like, that's amazing. But I guarantee you someone is on the other side of the fence going, Jake is so amazing, and Jake is so successful, and he's speaking all these places. Like, I want to be like that. Like, when we're in it, you know, we don't think that we're doing anything, like, amazing, or it's just like, well, it's just, you know, it's a passion. Like, that's what I do. It's a passion. But to somebody, it's everything. Like, when you did your podcast, like, my podcast has reached literally, like, 200 and something. But I've never had a podcast launch like you did. Your podcast went way up the charts. And I'm like, that's awesome. And then I was like, I want that. You know, like, how come my show's not like that? But then I remember, like, it's not for me. It's not my time. It's not... Now, my show is popular. You know what I mean? I'm on other lists. And, you know, and I use a program called or software, whatever you want to call it. Called Chartable, Chartable, Chartable. And Chartable will let me know that in Lebanon, I am number 201, or in this iTunes category, I'm this overall, or somebody will leave a comment and something, you know. So I get like those notifications, which is super cool. But then I Google my show and it's on like, it's in Spanish, it's in different languages, it's in India. I'm like, what? You know, so people are like, you know, they like my show, and I go speak at podcast events, and people are like, your show's amazing. I'm like, I don't see it in the rankings, you know, but it's fine because it's about changing people's lives, right?
Well, and the other thing I think about is, like, when it comes down to it, I think that all it really takes is just, this sounds so simple, but it's just doing things. And you continue to do things, and great things happen. And that's why great things happen for you, and that's why great things happen for me. And I know exactly what you're talking about when you're talking about, like, well, other people think this, whatever. And I agree. I know that. I know that because I know where I was. I know that I literally am living right now what I dreamed about achieving 2 years ago. You know, 2 years ago, I dreamed about doing what I'm doing today. And I'm very grateful that I have literally turned a dream into my reality. Now that dream is expanded. Now it's gone to something bigger. Now it's gone to a whole different level. But, you know, I just think that it takes doing things and taking action and moving forward. And most people are just too afraid to do that. And guys like you and I who take a step forward and just do things, great things happen.
100%. 100%. And I feel like greatness is a lot of small things done well day after day. And I preach this a lot, that greatness is a lot of small things done well day after day. But, you know, you just got to keep plugging away. And every day, you know, and so nobody, I mean, Tony Robbins didn't come out of the womb speaking. You know, and Tim Ferriss didn't come out of the womb doing what he does in Lewis Howes. And, you know, all of the people that we know in the speaking world and the podcast world, and Jack Canfield wasn't an author at 2 years old. Yeah. You know, so it's
no,
it's,
well, he's a great example because Jack spent a good 20 years, longer than that. He spent about 25 years speaking, now professionally speaking, around the whole country, doing the kind of stuff that we do. He spent 25 years doing that before he became a millionaire. He spent 25 years as a speaker. He spent 25 years as a speaker before he hit Amazon, or not Amazon, it didn't exist then, but before he hit New York Times bestseller. He, you know, he didn't really take off until the Chicken Soup series came off. He was in his 50s when that happened. You know, he'd been speaking for a long time and he'd been building up a platform. And then he had a time where, and now he had a product and the time, and it was time to cash in on all that goodwill that he'd built over 100%. The years. But I mean, it just, it takes time. It takes effort. And like, okay, so I talked about Cody Rhodes being the guy who, you know, is inspiring me right now. But if you look at, okay, who he partnered with, so there's him, but he partnered with these two brothers called the Young Bucks. And they have been doing, you know, they have been on a guerrilla marketing rampage for the last decade where they've been doing their YouTube show, their, you know, all their social media, building up something that's bigger than them, you know, the better part of a decade. And I remember seeing them like 7-8 years ago and thinking, yeah, these guys are really cool, but they probably peaked. Like that was my thought. And I feel bad thinking that, but I did. I thought they had peaked, but they just kept at it and kept at it and kept at it. And it grew and grew and grew because they put in the time. And so sometimes it just takes more time for people. And I don't know. Yeah. You know, I've heard that, I'm sure everyone's heard this before, but you know, it takes 10 years to be an overnight success.
Yep, I've heard that. And you know what's crazy is that 10 years ago, my life was in shambles. You know what I mean? I was abusing alcohol 10 years ago. I was on the brink of suicide 10 years ago. I had no idea what I was doing with my life 10 years. Like, I had no idea. 10 years ago, I was lost. I sucked at everything, you know, and I sucked the life out of people. But here we are 10 years later, man, sitting on a radio show that never would have came if you didn't step fully into the things that come into your life. You know, a lot of people say like, no, I'm not doing that. No, I'm not doing that. You know, they say no to things, you know, without even considering the options, not even considering what might happen. But that's why I live my life by one simple principle. You say yes and you figure it out.
I love that. I love that attitude about that because it's such a true principle, such a great way of looking at things because that's really what it's about. It's just, okay, I'm going to say yes and I'm going to figure it out later.
So as we start to wrap up the show, I mean, let's talk about some resources that you have. So you got the podcast, We're going to talk about that. You got the book, you got the Facebook group. So let's plug it all, man. Let's do a shameless plug. You can plug your favorite quotes, the websites, the Facebook, the products, the movies, the whatever it is. Talk about what you offer. Shameless plug moment. Go.
Cool, man. Sounds good. I have no problem doing a shameless plug because when it comes down to it, everything that I do is about service and giving. And so if you are a speaker, author, or coach, or some kind of message-driven entrepreneur, then come and join us in the Speakers, Authors, and Coaches Network. You can find it either by just searching in Speakers, Authors, Coaches in the Facebook search bar, or you can go to facebook.com/groups/speaker-author-coach. We have a lot of great resources in there, a lot of free content that we put out, but that's the best way to get involved with us is just come and join that. Also, if you want a free copy of my book, Your Number One Goal, you can either go to yournumberonegoal.com or you can go to jakeballantyne.com. If you're on Facebook, come and find me there. To be honest, I only have like 50 more friend spots left, but for now, we can still be friends on Facebook. So come and join me there. And if you have any questions, I'm really an open book.
I love it, man. And the podcast is amazing. You know, it's the new content like creator. Like, I mean, I listen to all kinds of different podcasts and I learn so much from podcasts. And, you know, you have the online university, YouTube, which is great, but I could take the podcast on the road, take the audio on the road, you know, and knock out a couple episodes. And I'm like, oh, that's a great idea. And you learn so much on podcasts. And
that's why
it's a great
marketing
tool.
Yep. Yeah, that's why I love podcasts. I mean, I can listen to podcasts on the road. I can listen to them at the gym. I can do all that where, like, it takes a lot more effort to watch a YouTube video. Though, to be honest, I just – pretty much for that reason, I just – you know, I upgraded to unlimited data so I could listen to YouTube videos wherever I was going, you know. So I could do that because there's so much knowledge and I could learn so much from them. Also, if you have the pro level of YouTube, you can close your phone so and still continue to listen so you don't take so much battery life. But most people don't take that step, and so I'd rather create something that people can listen to on the go and they can continue to learn everywhere they go.
Absolutely, man, 100%. So as we close, can you deliver your best nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, and inspire someone to take action today?
Best nugget of knowledge. Here it is. I don't actually know what I'm going to say right now. I'm just saying here it is, and I'm going to let whatever comes out come out. my best nugget of knowledge.
Give a speaker a microphone. You never know.
I feel that way sometimes. I just did a speech in Iowa last week, and I planned the speech right before, not because I was being lazy, but because I wanted input. So I went table to table and talked to the people in the group and said, what's going on for you guys and what's happening? And then I created something out of that. But anyway, what comes to my mind right now is learn to have compassion for yourself. We live in a day and age where we are bombarded with so much information. If you're listening to this, I'm guessing this isn't the only podcast you listen to. This isn't the only place where you consume information. And you're hearing things over and over and over again about do this, do that, do this, grow, be more, do all that. And that's all good. That's all good and fine. But I want to talk to that half of the audience that maybe is doing and doing and doing and might be frustrated from time to time, or might feel like they're not enough, or might feel like they're not moving fast enough. And I'd invite you to have compassion for yourself. And what I mean by compassion is that you are going to have unconditional love and support and acceptance for who you are, because you are a human who has unconditional value that is not predicated on what you do. You are valuable because you are here, because you are on this earth. And you don't need to do something to gain value. A lot of times we do things for the purpose of, if I do this, then I'll be important. If I do that, then I will matter. but you already matter. So have compassion and realize that you already are enough and you don't have to chase enough. And when you let go of that and have compassion, it's actually so much easier to do the things that you want to do because there's not so much weight on it on whether or not you're successful because you have value either way.
Dude, I love that. You should think about being a motivational speaker. So good.
Thank you.
So, man, it's been a lot of fun, and it's always, always so fun to talk to you. And I just look forward to learning more from you and being of value and service to you as well inside of the group.
Well, thank you so much, Sean. It really is a privilege and an honor. And I just want to say that all the things that you're doing are fantastic. And you really are a light in a lot of people's lives. So keep up the good work. And I'm just proud to be your friend.
Appreciate you, man. Likewise, where can we listen to your show?
So my podcast, it's on, I almost said Netflix. That's not true. It's on iTunes. It's on Stitcher. Where? It's on, yeah, iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, and Google Play. So it's on those four platforms at the moment. It will be on more. But at the moment, sure. It's on those four platforms.
I love it, man. I love it. So, dude, thank you so much for being an amazing guest and dropping the transformation bombs that you did today, man. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Sean.
Life Transformation listeners, an amazing guest, inspiring, motivating, and transforming lives everywhere he goes. If anything resonated with you, join the Speakers, Authors, and Coaches Network if you are one of these speakers, authors, and coaches that need just an extra edge, just need to surround yourself with amazing people. Join the amazing Facebook group, the Speakers, Authors, and Coaches Network. Now, you can go to jakebellantine.com to get your free copy of Your Number One Goal. Amazing resource. You don't want to be without it. So if anything resonated with this show, subscribe, rate, and review where you are comfortable listening to podcasts, and send us an iTunes review. Let us know how we're doing. As we close, I always say, live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the core values that you hold deep in your heart. I call this living your brand. So until next episode, live a great life.